Well, all of us have things we hate. All of us have things that we despise. I have things that I despise. Two of the things I hate, pineapple and peanut butter. I know, you're sitting there going, how? This guy isn't an American. But it's true, I hate pineapple. I love the look of it. I think a pineapple fruit is beautiful. I even have a shirt with little pineapples all over it. But when I get pineapple on my tongue, it tastes like wet toilet paper. Now, some of you right now are thinking, how does he know what wet toilet paper tastes like? See, those are the real people that are going, you know, I'm thinking about what you're saying, buddy. But you know what I really hate is being late. As a kid, I still remember watching Alice in Wonderland in the late 50s, and all I can remember is the opening scene with the white rabbit. I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. And as a little kid, I didn't understand what late was. But as an adult, I came to realize being late is horrible. See, now, with pineapple, I can just avoid it. With peanut butter, I can just avoid it. But once you're late, you can't go back. When I was dating my wife, once I was 15 minutes late to pick her up. I got there and it was like, hi, I'm here. Hi, good to see you. I was like, Well, let's get in the car. Sure. Open the door, she sat down. Well, are you ready to go? I suppose. I was like, okay, what is it? Is it because I'm late? Of course it's because you're late. It's like you're saying, I prepare my heart to see you. I'm all ready to see you. And then you don't show up on time. It's like saying my time isn't important. You're not seeing that, you know, I'm really looking forward to you being there. Boy, I still wish you looked forward to me being there like she used. I hope you do. But once you're late, you can't go back. There are things that happen when you're late. Once my wife and I were visiting her brother out in California, and we needed to reach a shuttle at a certain time in order to be taken back to the LAX airport. We got there on time. There was the shuttle waiting. I thought, because I always do, you know, bathroom breaks are always good. This is an hour and a half ride. Flatter bladder's a gladder bladder, you know. All I did, I was gone for 2 minutes, and that guy said, nope, gotta go. She pled with the guy. Please, he's coming right back. He just took a bathroom break. They left. Because I was late, then we were in a bind. You can't go back once you're late. And sometimes being late can have disastrous results. Jesus made it clear that being late can have disastrous results. And he did so in Matthew 25 in the parable of the 10 virgins. If you'd want to turn to Matthew chapter 25, there were 5 virgins who were prepared, and they were on time when the bridegroom called, and there were 5 that were foolish, and they were late. They were unprepared. And we want to take a look at that parable and see 3 actions to take to avoid the disastrous results of being too late and being shut out of heaven. I'd like to read through Matthew 25, 1 through 13, so that we have a context of where we're going to be going and what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now realize, Matthew 25 talks about the kingdom of heaven. The disciples in Matthew 24, the preceding chapter, have said, Lord, what's it going to be like when you come back? What are the signs of your coming? And all of Matthew 24 is Jesus talking about the 70th week of Daniel, the 7-year tribulation time, that time that precedes the Revelation 19:10 return of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, this is what's going to happen. Essentially, Matthew 24 is Revelation chapter 8 through 16, compressed in a nutshell. But let's start to read it, verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour, the day or the hour that Jesus is coming." So we're going to look at point one here, an action to take to avoid being late when the Lord comes. And we're going to use just something as simple as the railroad buckboards. Something we learn as kids. What's one of the first things you learn when you come to a railroad? Stop. That's what I would say. And that's what Jesus would say. I should say, that's what Jesus would say to these virgins. Now, in verse 1, it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. So this is a parable that's talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're not really talking about oil and lamps, and we're not really talking about a wedding per se. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus is teaching in a parable. He says, this is a parallel story. This is going to be what it's like when I return. And he's using a wedding to illustrate this. In chapter 25 says, you know, we're talking about the return of Christ. We're talking about judgment. We're talking about after this, Jesus sets up the millennium. And he's following that whole teaching from Matthew 24 with Matthew 25. So he's saying, be prepared. I'm coming back. So stop. Stop and think. And there's two groups of people here that need to stop and think. There's 10 girls. Well, all 10 girls want to get married. That's normal. They're saying, man, we want to get married. We want to have a family. It's like we're talking about 10 people. Everybody wants to go to heaven, don't they? Who wants to go to hell? Who wants to go to the lake of fire? So Jesus is saying, there's 10 girls here, and they're all thinking about going to heaven. Whew, this is an important thing. He's saying, you know, everybody wants heaven. But there are 5 girls who have prepared, and another 5 who have not. And they've been a little foolish in not preparing. The 5 foolish ones didn't have oil. Now, it's as if the 5 foolish ones were saying in parallel, yeah, I know that I have to have a relationship with Christ in order to go to heaven. I know that I have to repent, change my life. I need to confess to God that I have sin in my life, and he needs to cleanse it. But you know, I can handle that another time. You know, I'm really pretty busy right now, and there's things I've got to do. Plus, this week is Shark Week on HBO, and I think there's also going to be a Star Trek marathon on the Sci-Fi Channel, and I'll handle it after that. But I've got some binge watching that's pretty important to me this week, and, you know I've got to do that. You know, I've been going to church and hearing this message, and I'm going to handle it, but I just not now. Just not now. See, I think this entire parable is about a relationship with God. There were five foolish virgins who said, yeah, I'm just not quite ready yet. I'm not quite ready to make that jump, that leap of faith. I will someday. I know I've got to because I want to go to heaven. And then you've got the five wise virgins who said, ooh, we've prepared. We don't know when the Lord's coming. We've bought oil. We have everything all set. I want to be ready when he comes. I don't want to be caught wanting. I don't know exactly what the bridegroom wants and expects, but I'm going to do all I can to be ready. And they stopped and acted in accord with the will of God. They were ready. This is a big event. This is a permanent relationship with the bridegroom that I'm looking forward to. I've been looking forward to it all my life. I don't want to do anything that could risk it. And I see a big parallel here between that and coming to Christ. And maybe when Christ comes, it could be the rapture when he calls, but it could also be the moment of death. But stop and consider, what is God's will for you? What does God want of you? God's will, in one sense, could be summed up in 1 Timothy 3 through 6, where it says, this is good and pleases God our Savior. And this is his will. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Do you want to know what God's will is? Do you want to know what the bridegroom wants of you? He wants all to be saved. He wants all 10 to go to heaven. That's God's will. He wants all 10 to understand who Jesus Christ is. He wants all 10 to say, I know you died on the cross for my sins. I accept that. I know my need. But they get tired. And there's nothing wrong with getting tired. We all get tired. And they got so tired, they got tuckered out here. And it says, the wise, however, took oil and jars along with their lamps. But the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. I think the will of God is stop. Stop and consider. You don't know when Christ may call. You don't know when the day of your death is coming. Stop. Think about this for a moment. But see, we don't like to stop and think. We're a busy people. We've got things to do. Everybody here, you know when your food is ready. You know what plans you have for the rest of the afternoon. You've got plans for the rest of the week. In fact, some of you right now are sitting there planning what's going to happen the rest of the week. You're listening with me with one ear. The other is going, let's see, now Tuesday I've got the plumber coming. And then I've got a washer and dryer that's going to be delivered on Thursday. We make plans, but God is saying, stop. Make the right kind of plans. Consider who I am. All 10 fell asleep, but not all 10 were prepared. 5 of them were not prepared, and there were going to be disastrous results because that lack of preparation was going to make them late. God wants us to consider, stop, and think. Bad things happen when we don't stop. In 2005, when I worked for American, just down there in Cuyahoga Falls by Broad Avenue, used to be the Schwabel's bread factory that was right next door. I worked there, and it was on December in 2005, 3:30, Cuyahoga Falls High School had left out, and two teenagers were walking up Broad Street. And you know where that train tracks is, and you've got the double sets of tracks. You've all gone over that tracks hundreds of times because we all live here. They were sitting there waiting, you know, dressed in their winter coats, all bundled up, for this train to go by. And there was a southbound train, and it was right next to them. And these two teenagers were waiting and waiting and waiting for the train. And as soon as the train went by, they both started to step forward. One started and then jumped back because unbeknownst to both of the teenagers, there was another train right in back of the southbound train going north. And 16-year-old Megan Burns didn't stop. And she took a step and walked right in front of that northbound train. Didn't see it, didn't hear it, didn't stop. She had on one of those coats with a hood that kind of comes out like that, so her vision was limited. But just not by following a basic rule of safety to look before going over a train track, her life was taken instantly. She was drugged for a quarter of a mile before the train could stop. You know, for me, it was horrible because I'm working there. She didn't understand the danger involved in crossing the tracks. She didn't understand the danger in not taking a moment to stop. And spiritually, a lot of people don't understand the danger in not taking a moment to stop and consider, man, I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. I need a relationship with Christ. You need to stop. The foolish virgins didn't stop and consider, man, I need oil. Which really is, I need a relationship with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. Because the bridegroom was coming and they didn't know when. And that's an illustration that we see from Matthew 24. That's Jesus Christ coming. And for us, that moment is going to come, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at that moment of the rapture when he says, come up here with me, and we're caught up. Or that moment when we die and none of us know when that is going to be. Stop. They also needed to do something else. I got a feeling that most of you know what point two is. Look. Look, the bridegroom is going to return. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come to meet him. That could either be the rapture, that could either be the angel of death that says, now is your time. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell the oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The bridegroom returned. Jesus Christ will come back. Unexpected. Who knows when it will be? But it says in Matthew 24, when he comes back, for those who are ready, it's going to be great. You will be taken in with the bridegroom. But for those who are not, it's a horrible day. He illustrates it by talking about the evil servant who wasn't ready when the master came back. And it says that the evil servant says, my master is staying away a long time. And then he began to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lake of fire. Look, the bridegroom is going to come. Look, if you're not ready, there are going to be consequences. Look, the lights and the torches were there. Five were prepared. It says they had oil. Now, a lot of times in Scripture, oil is a symbol for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to take it quite that far. This is a parable. I don't think it's teaching theology to that degree. But it's saying the people who are prepared are the ones who have said, I've made my soul right with God. I have come to him. I have dealt with my sin before God. And I've asked for forgiveness. I'm trusting in him alone. And the five that are unprepared, they've just not taking the time to look at what they need. Look at what they need to do. They're unprepared. The prepared ones, the bridegroom comes, the response is peaceful. The unprepared, panic. And I've been in the presence of people who have died several times. And for unbelievers, it's panic. When they know it's close, it's panic. But for the believers, they know where they're going. And it's peaceful. The five foolish ones were not looking to be prepared. No oil. They missed the bridegroom. Their preparations were too late. He already came. They're too late. Jesus is saying, look, don't ignore a pardon for sin. Don't ignore heaven, because the day is coming. You will either die or be called up to heaven in the rapture. Look, in 2015, our family was on a trip on the Cuyahoga Valley National Railroad. And you go up to Independence and you get on this little train. You know, how many of you have taken a trip on the Cuyahoga Valley? Yeah, most of us have. And in 2015, we were on the train and we went down to Hale Farm and Village. And then we were coming back and we came back through Peninsula, you know, right by where the Winking Lizard is. And, you know, the train, you know, did the whole, you know, honk, honk, you know, we're going past the, you know, crossing. And then we just went another 200 yards or so, then all of a sudden the train came to a screeching halt. And my brother-in-law, his wife-to-be, and Suzanne and I were just sitting there in the train, you know, well, what's the reason for the stop? And I kept noticing, you know, every now and then a conductor would go, and when another one came by like this, I said, hey, why are we stopped? Oh, nothing to be worried of. Just stay in your seat. I'm sitting there going, oh, nothing to worry about. And then he did the wrong thing. He said, stay in your seat. I says, okay, now you did the wrong thing, because now I'm going to get up to look. So, you know, I got up and get out of the train. Of course, Susanna's like, why can't you just do what you're told? I says, I can't. It's my nature. As soon as you tell me don't do it, then I have to. So I went to the front of the train, nothing's going on, and then I walked to the back of the train, and there's a small group of people. So I push my way to the front, and then I look off to the side of the track. Here's the body of a person just laying there dead. 38-year-old Heidi Howard had been hit by the train. She wasn't looking. A witness said that she was just... The train, you know, had come, it had already blown the horn, so the engineers weren't looking for anything anymore. They've already gone through the crossing, and the thing only goes 25, 30 miles an hour, top speed. And she's walking down the middle of the tracks, just looking at stuff. The witness said that this woman was just walking and looking and looking, and the witness was screaming, stop, look behind you! And at the very last moment, when the rumbling of the earth could be felt, Heidi Howard turned around, and they said the last thing she did was just go, and then was hit and killed. You don't know when you're going to die. Jesus would say here, look out. Look. Be aware. Death could come at any time. Are you ready? Do you ever wonder when you'll die? Do you ever think about that, how you'll die? I think about that all the time. I don't mean to sound morbid, but I mean ever since I've been a kid, I've been concerned with death. Because I know it's got to end. And you get to my age, you've crested the hill. It gets to a point... You know, you don't see the stop sign. You think you're going to live forever. Then you crest the hill, and you go, what's that little spot of red down there? And then you get closer with more age. You go, it's in the shape of an octagon. And then you get a little closer. It says stop. Uh-oh. At a certain age, you say, man, it's close. Jesus would say here to these 10 virgins, which is like to all people. He says, stop. Stop. Consider. You're not going to live forever. There's going to be a day when you die. Look. Look what will happen if you don't get things right with God. Do you ever wonder if you're walking unprepared in a path of death, even at this moment? Action number 3. Listen. Listen for the call of the bridegroom. Stop. Look for the call of the bridegroom. Listen for it. Jesus Christ will call. It's either going to come at the rapture or, as we said, at that moment of death. And at that moment of death, there's going to be no bargaining. We won't be able to say, let's wait a while. You won't be able to say, oh, no, no, no. Now let me take care of that business. When the moment of death comes, for many people, it is instantaneous. It's like flipping a switch. And then it's too late. If you're unprepared, it is too late forever. Forever. God calls you to repent. God calls you to put your faith in Christ. And when that happens, I can only describe it as a crushing sensation on the inside. When the Holy Spirit is working on you, there's something that's inside you, in your guts, you just want to be away from. It is not pleasant. And it's your conscience. It's the Holy Spirit saying, yes, sinner, you, deserving of judgment, you. You needs Christ. You. And here's where Jesus would say, listen, be prepared. If you're not ready at the rapture, which I think is soon, that means you'll go through the roughest 7 years this planet has ever known. And the trials are going to be so bad, I don't know if you'll make it. And I say that as a warning and a love to say, make the decision now so you don't have to go through that. But what about the call of death? That's why I would urge you now. Make the decision now. Today is the day of salvation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. But a lot of people don't listen. They don't listen to this message. They listen to other stuff. My favorite high school teacher was Marvin Hummel. He was my English composition teacher in both my junior and senior years of high school. Probably the example of what an excellent teacher should be. Made a difference in my life. He was such a good teacher, I would go to his house to visit him. And as I visited him, I met his family, I met his wife Shirley, and I met their little 7-year-old son. This was back in 1971. I have to say 19, so some of you don't think 1871. But this was 1971. And you know, and I met his little 7-year-old son, Todd, who was playing on a drum set, and it was their only son. And Todd went on to graduate Rittman High School in 1983 and then got a degree as a teacher. And like his father, he followed suit and became a teacher himself. And he taught up in the area of Milan, just up in Erie County, just a little bit northwest of here. And on December 29th, 1990, Todd was driving along in the evening in Erie County, and he had a pair of earbuds in his ears, and he was listening to music real loud. And he came upon a railroad tracks, and because the music was so loud and he was listening to something else, he didn't hear the train. And the train T-boned his car, killed him instantly. And it was a horrible thing to go to his funeral And to see parents grieving over the death of their only son, their only child, it was horrific. Now, Todd, I believed, was a believer, so he would have been ushered instantly into the presence of Jesus Christ. But he wasn't listening. And when he did hear the train, and when he did see it, it was too late to stop. Are you listening this morning? If you don't know Christ, are you listening? Are you listening to the warning? Because this says, boy, you've got to get ready, because if you're not ready, it's going to be like these virgins. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. At that moment that Christ calls you, at the rapture, at that moment he calls, at the moment of death, for at the moment of death, for certain, the door is shut. There's no going back. If you're late forever. If it's the rapture, you've got a rough 7 years ahead of you in the tribulation. But now is the day. Later, the others also came and they said, "Sir, sir, open the door." And I think it's kind of interesting in verse 11. Later, if you just take off the R of later, late. The others came late. They weren't prepared. They were late. "Sir, sir, open the door for us." But he, the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ, says, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour that he is coming." Are you listening? Are you ready for his call? Do you know, you see buckboards like this every day. We cross train tracks constantly. We don't even look at these. It's just a common thing. We don't look at the warnings. We don't sit there and go through the things that we did when we were kids and go, "Stop, look, and listen." Yeah, that's for kids. You know, I know there's a track there, you know. How many of us actually look to the left and the right or slow down? Good for you, Doris. I do because of these three people. But most of us, we don't even see this. We're dead to it. We don't even know it's there. And this works in other ways too. There are other things culturally that are all around us in our world that are warnings for us. And we just miss them. We don't see them. They're on every street corner. They're on buildings all around. But we don't pay attention. We're just so used to seeing it all the time. And we don't think, this is a warning too, right here. Stop. Look. Listen before it's too late. And today is the day. Now, a lot of you say, "Well, so how do I know? Okay, so I understand. You know, I need Christ, but what do I do? What do I feel like?" All I can liken it to is in 1984, I was on the Lower Gauley River, and somehow our raft filled up with water, and I like to sit, just like here, I like to sit up front. When the pastors preach, I like to see the sweat beads on their foreheads. I mean, I want to see, if they're nervous, I want to see every little nervous tick. Well, I wanted to be right in the front of the raft. Well, it filled up with water, and we hit what's called a hydraulic hole. And it's a hydraulic hole is where the water falls in and drops, and then it goes down into a cutout and then folds in against itself. If you have a KitchenAid mixer, sometimes they've got a setting on there called fold, and you'll fold the batter, and the batter folds in on itself. I got caught in one of those, and on a class 5 rapids, tons of water, And I got sucked down to the bottom of the river and was just being rolled over and over and over. And I said to myself, this is it. And I had on the helmet. I had on a wetsuit. I had on this huge life jacket. I mean, if you'd have seen me, you'd have said, there's no way this guy is going to sink. There's no way he's going to do anything but float. This guy's probably going to hover over the water. He's so overprotected. But when that many tons of water are crushing on top of you, there's no way out. No way out. And all I can tell you is, it was a crushing feeling in the darkness of that river. And then all of a sudden, I think it's because God said, that's scary, isn't it? Okay, I want you to remember this for an illustration someday. Now I'm just going to pop you out of there. All of a sudden, I just got popped out. And I bounced around, hit a few rocks, and came up. And I could see the life raft over there with everybody else in it. And they're all screaming at me because they're amazed that I made it out of that thing. And the next thing I saw was somebody's hand come out like this. And the first thing I did, my hand went out to grab theirs. That's how I can best explain what it's like when you need to come to Christ. You feel crushed on the inside. You know you're not good enough. You know you need him, and he is there in the life raft, putting out his hand, and all you do is say, Lord, I don't understand all about theology. I don't understand about the eternity of God. I don't understand how Jesus Christ could be man and God at the same time. I don't know how it worked when he died on the cross to save me of my sins. All I know is I need you, save me. And that's what it takes. That's all it takes. So you got to know three things. I'm out of the boat. Jesus Christ is in the boat. And he, number three, is reaching out for me. And he's reaching out for you. The question is, how will you respond? Are you looking? Are you taking a moment to stop and look for that? Are you listening for him saying, take my hand? And that's what he's asking this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, this morning, this is a morning of decision. Now, I know we're going to do communion right after we're here. But I cannot help but think that there is somebody here this morning who is in need of taking Christ's hand. Now that's something that they can do right in their seat. Right now. To say, Lord, I don't understand it all. But I know this. I'm being torn up on the inside and I need you and I need you now. And I'm not going to put it off. That would be foolish. I don't want to be like the foolish virgins who put it off. It's got to be done now. I need you. Lord, I believe that's all it takes. Some may want afterwards to come up and talk and say, could you pray with me? And I'll be hanging around up here after the service to do just that. But Father, that's what's needed. So as we work now to end this service and move on to communion, I ask if your Holy Spirit is at work in somebody's heart that this would be the time. This would be the time when they could do business with you. It's in Christ's name we pray.